and Fridays, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
It is 35 minutes after 6 o'clock, Power Listener. You're tuned into Power Business with myself, Sifiso Skenjana, and we continue taking a look into the world of business. And to pick up the conversations that are topical in today's news flow, one of the things that have come out is that Altron FinTech Short-Term Credit Impact Index has come out, and simply that they do track particularly lending that's happening on the shorter end of the side, and they've got, I guess, insights to tell us about what's happening there, what are those data points actually telling us about the health of the South African consumer, and of course, what does it mean in terms of how we continue to understand the outlook for the South African market. Keith, good evening.
Good evening, Sifiso.
We're joined by Keith Lockwood. He's an economist and index report author. Keith, you guys have recently published, the most recent report, and I do understand that you guys have been tracking credit extension, particularly on the short side, from 2015. What's the trend been over the last few years? And what's the trend been?
Yeah, so if you go back to the sort of end of 2015, it reached a peak of about 3.6 billion rand of credit extension in the short-term credit market. That's dropped down to literally half of that in the last quarter we have data for. And on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we're looking at about a 48 million rand reduction in the amount of credit being extended as short-term credit.
Sure. And why specifically short-term credit that you guys are observing, given that it's a relatively smaller component of the overall credit extension in the country?
Yeah, I think the most important thing, aside from the fact that Altron FinTech is a technology provider to many of the credit providers in this end of the market, I think it's a very under-analyzed and under-studied area of the credit market, probably because it's small. From our perspective, it's really important because it is the one area of credit where low-income households and small and micro businesses have an entry point into the credit market.
And it's the, hunting ground for Omashonisa.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the concerns, I guess, when you see the reduction in what you would regard as formal credit extension, so the registered providers under the National Credit Act, is that there's a very good chance that a lot more of that credit activity is actually going into informal providers who might not be complying with interest rate caps and things like that that are in place.
Have you historically studied those kind of movements, that there's almost a substitution effect, that when consumers become, I guess, less credit available, they tend to go for the more informal credit solutions?
Yeah, so I can't say it's been a specific area of study, but there's certainly anecdotal evidence to that effect. And, you know, I think what we have to recognize is when you have sections of society that are under financial pressure, as is no doubt the case now, that there is a need in certain circumstances for emergency loans and other things. And if they can't access that sort of funding formally, then there's a very good chance that they will try to access it informally.
And I mean, you guys talk about the kind of consumer credit market having shrunk by 5.5%. What do we need to do to open up the doors for people to become more financially included?
Yeah, so I think it's very hard to disconnect the credit market from the broader economy. Clearly, one of the features of the credit market at the moment is that across the board, there are very high levels of rejection rates. So close to two-thirds of the people who are applying for credit are actually being rejected. And that's got to do with a sort of limited number of people that are deemed to be credit worthy. So I think we got to look at this in two ways. The first is, It's going to be hard for the short-term credit market to grow as long as the economy is not working. So the more people we can get into employment the stronger we can get incomes growing, the more you will have opportunities to leverage your income base using credit. And in many cases, that could mean starting small businesses, etc. But I think we can also be a lot more creative about how we access the and use the short-term credit industry to advance loans to small and emerging businesses. So if you think about a lot of the official and government funded lending operations that are targeted at small businesses, I think if we thought about this creatively, there could well be a way to utilize the network of credit providers in a way that could actually be quite productive and help to stimulate economic growth.
Almost like a hippo for short-term credit. And on the point you're making that, you know, we've got more than 60% of applicants are rejected in terms of their credit applications. We're also seeing that in the telco space specifically, and I know some of the banks are trying it out, they're looking at alternative credit data to do some credit modeling, simply because a lot of the data that they currently have don't give them enough information about the real attitudes of the consumer. So is that rejection rate not also, telling of a banking system that doesn't truly understand the real credit propensity of their consumers?
I think that could well be the case. And as we move into a society where formal jobs are more and more scarce and more people are relying on, in some cases, multiple jobs and in many cases, informal and irregular kind of income streams, that it will become necessary for credit providers generally to change the way they assess the creditworthiness of their customers. But I think in the context of the short-term credit market, that is one area where this network of providers have an advantage, because these are generally individuals and institutions that are providing their own capital rather than client savings to lend out. And they're often operating within the community, so they are able to assess creditworthiness in probably a much more comprehensive way than typical bank scorecard models would do.
Sure, and then particularly, I think in the relative contribution of the short-term credit, what's the borrowing, proportion that goes to consumers or individuals, and that goes to businesses or small businesses?
Yeah, so this is one of the areas where I'm looking to do more research in the months ahead. It's not an area where there's a lot of good data currently. So I'm hoping in partnership with Altron FinTech that we'll be able to start collecting data, which will give us a much better sense of what the money is actually being used for. So we do know that there are small businesses, and they would typically be using this for working capital, often to fund stock purchases, and then in many cases also to fund asset acquisition that might be linked to their business. You must remember, though, that the short-term credit market is defined as loans up to 8,000 Rand with a term of up to 6 months. So it has an opportunity, particularly for micro businesses, to allow them to get, for example, stock and start trading. And it also might allow them to buy smaller assets that they might require for their business. But at this stage, it's not really fit for sort of very significant asset purchases.
And I mean, I think what we've seen on the continent, like Kenya, for example, you know, with their day loans and very low default ratios with those day loans, I think will be quite interesting and to hear your thoughts on, you know, how much are fintechs contributing to the short-term credit extension, particularly, I guess, for the collective that you're currently studying?
I think it's expanding a little bit. I mean, one of the critical issues for this market is you have to be efficient in how you advance the credit and then collect it. So that's one area where fintechs have an advantage, and if they can utilize technology effectively, it can be a good sort of experimentation ground for new technologies and new ways of doing things.
Sure.
But I don't have sort of particular details on what their market share is at the moment in the South African market anyway.
Sure. Let's hope that the fintechs continue to disrupt that space as well in the way that they show a more nuanced understanding of the consumer. That was Keith Lockwood, economist and index report author on the Altron Fintech Short-Term Credit Impact Index. Thank you, Keith. And we always appreciate these kinds of insights that will help us understand what is the true health of our economy, particularly from a financial inclusion point of view.
Power Traffic.
And a very good evening to you, GP. Once more, Ormonde on the M1 southbound, there's an accident scene close to Xavier Street, currently causing slow-moving traffic. In Bedford View on the N3 north, there is a stationary truck on the ramp to the N12 east at the Gululis interchange, currently causing some shorter delays. Kempton Park, Sierra Swart Road heading westbound, there are roadworks there with lane restrictions as you're approaching a Parkland Drive. Traffic lights aren't functioning in Sandton at Greyston and the M1. In four ways at Witkoppen and Monte Cassino, North Riding at Witkoppen and River Bend, out in Northcliff at Bayers, Nordia and War Avenue. For Power Traffic, I am Refilwe Matsela.
Power Traffic.
Can I get an account that offers comprehensive solutions for my business? With Absa, I can. Absa Business Evolve accounts have flexible solutions for businesses of all sizes and product options that I can control. I get a SmartPay mobile card payment device, which allows me to accept payments conveniently and safely. And I also get the free cash flow manager, an accounting tool that helps me to keep track of my finances and more. It's a solution that evolves as my business grows.
Move to Absa today and open a Business Evolve account online or on our banking app. We do more so you can. That's Africanacity. Absa is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
The issue of the economies of the countries around us and the governments